The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God that's never late, he's working all things out. He's working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God that's never late, he's working all things out. He's working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high. Stand again. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy.
Everybody stand, and as you see, we have very few of us up here today, but just stand and worship with us.
Within your presence, I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak and all anxiety to every my soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power.
Thank you.
circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today.
Everybody, just look around and shake hands with about three people. And Haven kids, you can go. Sunday school.
We got a lot of folks not here today, so I want to give those young ladies and Jim a big round of applause for taking on this stage today.
Yay!
I think they're celebrating a game, but I think they lost the game, so they may not be celebrating anymore. So, and the Phillies lost last night, so I'm sure Jack's not real happy. So, anyway, as we all know, we have got a lot of praise today. And, you know, I'm going to gloat first because, you know, my husband went for his test results Wednesday and God gave us all negative results. His heart is healthy. Oh, where did he go? Dang it. He does that every time. And he is doing well. So we're really excited. So now we're going to get back up to 4 miles a day. Oh, but anyway, he's doing good. But we have a lot of shout-outs today. Sam's husband and baby are home. They're not feeling too good, so we want to pray for them to feel better. Jen and Scott's mom, Bernie, is in the hospital, and we do want to lift her in prayer because they're not totally sure what's going on. They're still working on that. Bob's kicking butt. Where's he at? I saw his foot. Where'd he go? Oh, I'm sorry. He's security. He's got a big foot out there today, so don't mess with him. And Hope sent us a little note. Thank you for all the prayers, phone calls, cards, something, and well wishes. Only one word I can't read. I am overwhelmed with the appreciation from all of you. Recovering is coming along quite well, and I'm happy to be out and about very soon. And that's Hope. She had a knee replacement, so I know what she's going through. Jack and Jill and their families, we want to give them traveling mercies as they travel home from West Virginia. Hopefully they're all safe and sound. And Mark had his knee surgery this week. He's doing good, but he's fighting a little bit of a bug. So we want to keep lifting him in prayer. And his mom, Eve, she's having some issues. They're putting her on oxygen. So we want to keep lifting these people in prayer. Jackson, Kate's nephew, he is a small baby, and we really want to lift him in prayer. He's really struggling, and we want to prayers for his health. Donna's daughter, Heather, has a job interview, and we just pray that God's with her, and she works through that and gets a full-time job that she's looking for. And we have a shout-out to Sandy today. Happy birthday, Sandy. And they didn't tell me, so I won't spoil it and tell them how old you are, because if they tell me, it flies out of my mouth. Sorry. And June has had some surgery, and she's recovering, but she's having a little bit of a setback, so hopefully she'll be back with us next week. And we have an absolute praise. Jen Lugello, sorry, bad. Youth group is going to the rally next weekend. And something I've prayed for 13 years, my granddaughter's going to go too. So I said Christ would come through my grandchildren. So they're working it. So it's all good. And Bill, the community kitchen, how are we doing? Are we good? Okay, because we are going to bag lunches this time, and not as many servers because it's a little bit different. And holy moly, does anybody want to take a guess how many boxes we got? Just a random guess. 247. 250. Well, we got 225, and I have a commitment of 30 more that I know are coming. So that makes... 5 and 5 is 10. Carry my 1, 2. Who put me up here today? 255 or 260. That is darn good. Give yourselves a hand. We are kicking butt. These kids are going to be so blessed. I am. I'm just really excited about that. And Holly, we are going to do a shout out to her dad, Roger, and pray that he's feeling better and has healing. And as she continues her weight loss journey, which, in case nobody's told you, honey, it's a lifetime journey, and you just got to keep fighting it. It's all good. Anybody else we need to lift in prayer that I forgot or missed? You're doing good? No surgery. No surgery, yes. Teresa has no surgery, and that's a very good thing. Okay, and we will pray for your brother. Darren. Anybody else? Back, oh, the back row. Here she goes. You know he's watching out there somewhere. Did you hear? Yes, they are also traveling. That's why we have no one here. And today we got our strong team back there keeping us all together on cue. And somebody's back there going, shut up, Joanna, you're done. Okay, so we're going to just go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you for taking our needs, our praises, our desires, and our wishes for others. Help us continue to act in love to one another, as that's what it is about. One of your strongest commandments to us is to love our neighbors, and if we all did that, this world would be a beautiful place. I want to lift Brother Wes up today because he's going to bring us a message from his heart. I want to lift Jack and his family, Keith and family, Dana and family, Jill and family. They're all traveling. Be with them. Give them traveling mercies, and we do miss them. But we'll hold down the fort today. And Jesus, be with those who just are struggling with mental health, addictions, health issues, finances, loss of a job. Where everybody out there has something going on in their life. Take time to be with them, guide them, put your hands on them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
One morning I walked into a church, but it wasn't on a Sunday. I looked around and I saw the empty seats, the sun glistening through the dust in the air. At first, I was distraught at the sight of the empty chairs. But then, I was filled with joy. I realized that the people who were once in those chairs were now outside of the building, working at their jobs, serving in their communities, laughing with their coworkers and growing with their families. They had the opportunity to be the church, not just sit in it. When will we be like them? When will we see the opportunity given to us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, bringing hope into the world? Stained glass can't pray for the sick. These walls can't preach the gospel, but you can. The building you're sitting in is just a building. But if you trust in Jesus, then you are the church.
You can see the QR code if you'd like to share the bulletin with your phone. You can click on that and do that. And Jack always says there's codes on the back of the seats to see what Haven has in store for you in our online programs. Well, have you heard people say that Jack's away? Since he went to West Virginia, he likes to go back to homecoming every year. And I hear there was actual pictures on Facebook of him cheerleading. So anyway, and he sent me a text today saying he was cheering for me. So, and I thank him for that, and I thank everyone for all those prayers. But since I knew I would probably be up here today speaking, I've been thinking for a while what to preach on. And what kept coming to mind was know, grow, serve, and share, which is Haven's mission statement. And other things kept coming in and out, what I might be able to preach on or share. But then new members decide to join Haven, quite a few people. And so we've started that new membership class. And part of it is sharing with them our mission statement and what all of that means. So it seemed kind of appropriate today that that's what the sermon would be about. We talk about know, grow, serve, and share. And on the top of your bulletin, you can see what our mission statement is for Haven. It says, Haven Community Church exists to know God and membership in His family. Grow to be like Jesus in maturity. Equip them to serve in the church and their life mission. And then share Jesus in the larger world. Now, the first time we came to this church was because Jim and Jennifer had invited us because they had been coming here, and Ray, Sarah, and Emily and I came in for the first day. And we were greeted by Gary Ashby and Mike Berdinka, two wonderful people to be out there greeting you. But then behind them was on the wall, no, grow, serve, share. And at the time, I didn't know that was the mission statement, but I thought they were wonderful words to have right on the front wall of the church. And it's still, when I come in, I'd like to see that there. It's inspiring, because most people don't know what their church's mission statement is or how to live it. And I think it's wonderful that this church lets people know what we're about and what the church itself should be about. So that leads to questions like, well, what do I need to know? And how do I learn? Where do I need to grow? And then what is the best course of action for me to do so I can grow? Who, how, where, when do I serve? And who are those people that I serve? And now, these are just a few of the questions I've asked myself through the years, and I imagine most of you could come up with some of your own for what know, grow, serve, and share mean to you. But when I think back to the Bible or on the Bible, the word that comes to mind, or the verse that comes to mind for the word know, is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. That's always been a verse that's prompted me to want to know more, to sit, study, and learn what God has for me. Because when you come to know your Lord and your God, then you'll want to exalt Him. You'll want to praise Him with all your heart, soul, and mind to the people around you. And then when you learn about how God works in the lives of people through the teachings of Jesus, that's when you'll grow in your spirituality. But you learn by studying His Word. You learn by going through the Bible and reading and understanding what Jesus has done in the lives of so many different people. And one of the things that Jesus said was that we should share with one another. And quite a few months ago, Jack, if you remember, he read off a list of all the one another's that Jesus referred to. But the one I like and have thought so much about is in John 13, 34, and 35. It says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, people in Jesus' time wanted to know more about Him because of what He did, who He was, how He loved people. We see in the dictionary, to know is defined by a willingness to learn through knowledge and information, or to grow in relationship with someone or something. So these people grew in their love for Christ because they knew what He was. They knew who He was connected with, what His interests were, what He did to help these people. There wasn't any question of Jesus' love for all the one another's ears. So quite a few years ago, I came across a poem that I've memorized and I thought has always been appropriate. And it's, you're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do and the words that you say. People read what you write, whether it's faithless or true. So say, what is the gospel according to you? Now, who is the one another's, and how do I love them as Jesus loved me? Do I treat those others the way that He treated them or would have treated them? What is the gospel I write each day to these people? Is it that gospel of love of Jesus, or is it a faithless gospel? Because people do read what you write, and I think we all know that. When you profess to be a Christian and then people see different from you, they question not only you, but they question Jesus and your belief in Him. So do you want to know how to interact with your fellow believers and those that are seeking something new? Then you need to read the Gospels and see what Jesus did. But you also need to read the letters from Paul and John and James and Peter, how they interacted with the people after seeing how Christ had loved them. Now, in Paul's case, it was a revelation on the road to Damascus where Jesus appeared to him and shared everything. But all these people had met Jesus, and they knew him, and they knew what he did. So read their letters and see what they say about interacting with the people of the world and how you love them as Jesus loved the people. But one of the more important things that Jesus has said through all of his teaching is that we need to be taught by the Holy Spirit and about the Holy Spirit. We need to know how that Spirit helps us. In John 14:26, Jesus says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." But sometimes that's a little hard for us to believe and understand, but I know there's cases in my own life that out of nowhere, the proper words, the appropriate words have come when I need to say something to someone. And then you look back and you go, where did that come from? It's the Spirit. So you become aware of that Spirit and how he works in your life. And listen when he prompts you and speaks to you. See, it's through that power and strength and wisdom that we get from the Spirit that we can be able to share with the one another about the encounters in our lives. And the Spirit knows what they need and will guide you and guide me in what we need to share with them. Paul writes this in Corinthians. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in everyone. The Holy Spirit, Christ the Lord, and God the Father, right there in the spirits and how it's distributed. So now to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. So in verse 8 and 10, Paul lists these different gifts. There's wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, speaking in different tongues, and interpretation of tongues. A variety of gifts given to the people of the body of Christ to serve the body of Christ. So Paul writes this in verse 11. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The Spirit giving us gifts as he determines what he seems fit for us to have at the time. Because in Ephesians 2:10, we read that, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." So in Ephesians, we learn that we were created for a purpose, that God has made us to do something on this earth for him. And then the Spirit equips us with the gifts we need so we can carry out the purpose we've been created for. So that tells me that I need to know what my gifts are. You should know what your gifts are. Where is the Spirit leading you to serve and to share? What are those gifts that you have that will help the body of Christ grow, that benefits everyone? See, Paul writes that in Ephesians that Christ had given us apostles, pastors, teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, I believe that part of God's purpose for each one of us and the body is to keep growing and to keep helping others grow. It's not just for us to grow, but for us to help those we know, those in the body, to grow with us, to grow into Christ, so they can fulfill their purposes. In Ephesians, Paul writes, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Each part growing into one. This church as a body growing into the body that serves this local community and Haiti and Miriam's Table in Congo. That's what this body does as a unit, knit together in the love of Christ. It's important that we know what we do and why we do. And as Paul tells us, it's necessary that what we believe fully and trust, so we're not led astray by false teachings and the latest fad or doctrine that comes out there. We stand firm in that faith we've learned through study in our Lord and Savior. And then Peter in his first letter writes similar words. He says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Again, feeding on the Word of God, that spiritual food, so you can grow. It's a continuing process. It's not just read once and then forget it. You keep studying. You keep learning. And that's part of the discipleship class that Jack's leading right now. And quite a few people are coming to. Because the more you read the Bible, same passages you've read probably dozens of times, each time it means something different. With different people sharing their thoughts on that scripture, you learn something more. It all helps you to grow in that faith that you have. Understanding what other people believe and why they believe. So, Peter's advice, taste and see, comes from my favorite verse, which I shared with everybody here on May 8th of Mother's Day, is taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. See, once you've tasted what the Lord has for you, you're satisfied, but you're still hungry. You want to do even more of what you've been doing. When you serve at a community kitchen, you don't go, okay, that was my turn. Somebody else can do it next. You're ready to do it again. You hunger for that opportunity to help. So what are your desires? Again, you learn them from the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Him teaching you and telling you what you need to do, where you need to serve, who you need to serve. But then besides all this scriptural and spiritual knowledge and growth, we need to know those one another's in the body of Christ. And that's part of serving at Elkton Kitchen and different places. You get to know the people we serve, but not just out there, in here. There's many small groups, as you saw up on the screens this morning, different studies, different places you can spend your time, serve in this body of Christ to help build each other up. And for me, where that serve and share takes place is there. It's being able to serve to what the people here need, what the people in Congo need. For, like I said, that's my heart, that Miriam's Table. And then our mission in Haiti and going on that trip. When you see that and your heart grows for that, that's where I serve. And that's what makes me grow and love more. Not only the people in Haiti, but everybody in this church, the people you're associated with. See, when you grow in love in one respect you grow in love in just about every. Because love isn't minimized to just you and the person or opportunity you love. So as you get to know the people in your groups, then you learn to what motivates them and what their passions of serving are. And then this helps you to even learn more about what your areas might be. So share with the other people. Another way you share when you do that is tell your stories. For your story was given to you for a reason. God's worked in your life, not for you to keep it to yourself, but to share it with others. Because you know you like reading all the stories in the Bible and how they inspire you, the things Jesus had done. Well, you never know when your story is going to inspire somebody. Where God's worked in your life and how he's worked in your life, whether that will prompt someone to think, I can see where God's worked in mine now, just by that you sharing your story with them. So I've got two quick stories of my own that I'll share with you. And one happened many years ago in the mid-80s, back when I actually backpacked. I tell people I used a backpack before I had a front pack. But we were out in western Pennsylvania on the Laurel Highland Trail. And we'd started hiking on Sunday, and this was Wednesday. And we're up at Route 30 near Seven Springs Ski Lodge. So after a long day on the trail, there was a Christian group. Our Presbyterian pastor at the time was the one that was leading it, so it was a bunch of us church people. He decided it would be a good idea if we drew straws to see who would go up to Route 30 and then go find some place to buy food to bring back to the other 10 people. Well, somehow, he and I wound up with the short straws. I still think he rigged it, but I'm not sure. But anyway, so we unloaded our packs, walked up to the highway, and Greg says, which way should we go? And I said, well, if we go that way, there's probably one of those Pennsylvania gas stations with a convenience store. He said, yeah, but we know Seven Springs is that way. So we decided we would hitchhike to Seven Springs. A few cars went by, and then one stopped, maybe the fourth, fifth car that came by. And it was a younger couple. They asked where we were going, and we told them we were going to Seven Springs. They said, oh, good, we're going there too. So we got in, and they're sharing their story, and they said they were going to a church conference. The AME church was having a conference there for the next couple of days, and they were going to be part of it. So at that point, Greg shared with them that he was a Presbyterian pastor, and it was a Christian group that was hiking, and the different stories we shared. So the gentleman dropped us off at the store and went on his way. We went in and bought as much as we thought we could carry and our backpacks could hold, and we started to leave. Well, here came the man back. He said, oh, you need a ride back? And I said, well, yeah, but why are you doing that? He said, my car won't shut off. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, get in. So we loaded up and we asked him where he was going. He said, well, you know where I picked you up? He said, right over the hill, there's a gas station. So we got out, unloaded the car, and we were loading our backpacks up. And the man comes back. He said, the car's fixed. He said, fixed? He said, yeah, there wasn't anything wrong with it. We got there, and the man turned it off, turned it on, turned it off. He said, if there's anything wrong with it, I can't find it. So you're ready to go. So Harry, he stops on the way back and shares that with us, that everything's fine. People will see that as just coincidence in your life. I see that as God working in ours. At the time, I thought it was us that God was helping. That here he was helping a group of Christian backpackers get food for the evening and the rest of the trip. But then after a while, I started to realize that not only were we sharing that story with the people back at camp and would share that story in the future with our church and other people, I wouldn't doubt that that night that man and woman didn't share how God had used them to help these scraggly looking backpackers after, you know, 3 days on the trail. See, they're the little stories where God works in your life that you need to share, where you can see how God does work. It's not coincidence. God works in all those ways. And when you see him working, you need to know it's God. And then again, like I said, you need to share that God worked in your life in that circumstance. But then another one that's closer to home is, like I said, we were invited here the first time by Jim and Jennifer, and we know Jim and Jennifer from St. Paul's in Earlville. And one Saturday, and we knew Jim played the guitar and everything. Emily and I were in Glasgow Family, the Christian bookstore. And Emily was looking at all the different things she always looks at, so I was just kind of wandering around the store and got over to the shirt section. So I'm looking through the shirts, and I pick one out, and it says, "I play for an audience of one." I said, "Oh," and I hung it back up. And then a voice said, "Buy that for Jim." I said, "Really?" So I went, and I always tell people, Emily's my Nathan. She's my prophet. So I went and I told Emily, I said, "I think the Lord just told me to buy this shirt for Jim." She said, "Well, you better do it." So we bought that shirt for Jim and took it to church on Sunday and gave it to him. Well, sometime later, I found out at that time, Jim was in the process of deciding what did he want to do, where he wanted to go, and the different things. And that shirt is what he needed at that moment to help him make his decisions. I could have just as easily hung that shirt back up and gone, "I wonder what that thought was about." But see, you need to become aware of when that Spirit talks to you, because he talks to you in those little different ways. Hear that voice of God when he says, "Buy that shirt," or "Do this," or "Go there." And know that it's him speaking to you. And then when you see the outcome of that story, you need to share that with people so they know God works in your life. And if he's working in your life, then he can work in theirs. Amen. Share your stories. Let people know all about the God you love and serve. So I do believe it's important that all that takes place. So share your stories, love your neighbor, and grow. And then I think most of you know, a couple weeks ago was Emily and I's anniversary. So Reagan and Sarah sent us a poem about marriage. But I think it's a poem that talks about how we as the body, married to Christ, should be in that marriage to our Lord. For it says, "A marriage is measured by more than just years. It's measured in loving through laughter and tears." Because there are times in the church there are tears and there's laughter. But it's always measured. See, by good times, contentment, and dreams that come true, but also by the hard times, God's love brings you through. See, a marriage is greater than simply the sum of all you've accomplished and how far you've come. It doesn't matter what that journey's brought you to in this church so far, there's further to go. It's people whose lives you have touched in some way and values you've stood for and lived by each day. A marriage is measured by lessons you've learned, examples you've set, and respect you've earned. It's forged in the balance the two of you find in partnership, friendship, and love all combined. And that's what this church is. It's partnership, friendship, and love all combined into one thing so we can know our God and then grow in that love. Share that love and serve others. And in doing that, you'll learn to love the Lord your God more. Now, I'd like to close with this prayer of Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. And it's part of the prayer that's in the new members book. And it's, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Yeah. We're here to serve. And part of that serving is reaching out to those in the community. So let us pray. Father, we just do thank you for this body, for us as a church that reach out to different people in different areas. We reach out to one another in here. And we just thank you for all of that opportunity. But Father, we do thank you for what you have blessed us with. And we know that you call that we should give. And as Jack says, if you're a visitor here today, we don't expect you to give. Just ask that you have come to know God more and want to grow. But here, Lord, we just ask that as we give our tithes and offerings that you would bless them and increase them so that we as this body may serve our community more fully and more deeply, all for that love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Could express how much you deserve.
worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. And it's all about you. All about you, Jesus.
Thank you. Go this week and learn more about yourself and learn more about the God you serve and how to share his love with others. And we look forward to seeing you next week as you've grown more. So have a good week.